What is amazing love? Well, first and foremost, it's a gathering of people who are committed to reach the lost with the love of Christ. I love a quote by R.C. Sproul that says, reaching out, or evangelism, is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And at Amazing Love, that's just what we're doing. We're a community telling others we found bread, and not just any bread, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who alone is able to satisfy a hungry heart. And what did Jesus do? He leaves 99 sheep to find the one who is lost. Taking our cue from Jesus, we do so many things to reach the lost, whether it's an outreach event like our helicopter drop, renting space to Lincoln Way Strings or school, service projects like Dirty Ministry, or inviting our friends to come to church with us. And what are we hoping they find? We hope they find community, a gathering of people that you can belong to even before you believe. Come as you are, but make no mistake, as you get to know Jesus, you won't stay that way. We hope they find peace. Everything we do, we're going to emphasize the victory that Jesus won for us. We are forgiven. We are loved. Heaven is our home. We're going to find purpose. Something better than a golf game or doing another load of laundry or spending a few more hours at work. What we are doing is storing up eternal treasure. It's something that will matter now and for all eternity. And when we work together, more is done. More people are reached, and more are served in a better way. That's exactly what we've seen in the past couple years. We've done more, and God has blessed us with more. We've offered more events, more group offerings, more planning, more excellence, more inviting, all so that more people found Jesus. But I don't know about you. I'm not done yet. We're not done yet. There's a next level still to reach and a greater impact to be had. So now's our time to dream, to envision, to imagine yourself in the 10,000th year of heaven, looking back at life and thinking about what you could have done, what you wanted to do. Where will that lead us? That eternal perspective will lead us to maximize these mere moments, or at least want to. To reach so hard so that hungry are fed, so that lost are found, and that we all grow close to the one who is only, the only one built to satisfy our hungry hearts. May God bless us to reach toward that next level.
Well, good morning, Amazing Love. Wow, is this great to see all the seats filled. If you know somebody, this is now the time to just look over at them and wave and say, I'm here. Okay. Thanks. Hey, isn't this an amazing day to celebrate God's amazing love? And, you know, all the fun and excitement doesn't stop here, even. It doesn't stop in this worship service. It's not going to stop afterwards, because I think you know what Sunday this is, right? Yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Woo! 5:30 p.m., guys. Make sure the TV's on. This is going to be a great contest between two great teams, two great quarterbacks, two great defenses. It's going to be an exciting evening for us who love football. But let me just say this right out of the gate. Some of you are going to be watching this game for some suspect reasons. And not just Taylor Swift. Some of you are going to be watching this game because the commercials. Some of you are going to be watching this game because of the halftime show. Some of you are going to strategically be not watching this game around family and friends, but you'll be at a Super Bowl party. And that's all good. But there is really only one true reason to watch the Super Bowl, and that, my friends, is football. So let's talk a little bit about some of the cool things that we're going to see. And I hope there's some anticipation for this. And anticipation is great, isn't it? We're going to see some amazing long passes caught, maybe with one hand. We're going to see some sacks that are going to be devastating hits. We're going to see, hopefully, not a blowout, but a fun back and forth game that keeps us in suspense for the entire game. You should know from the slide who's playing today, right? Do you all know that it is the San Francisco 49ers? And anybody want to help me? The Chiefs, thank you. See, our Sunshine Singers also know what's on football today. But let me ask you a question. With all this anticipation going on, do you remember the Super Bowl from 1 year ago? Do you remember who was in the Super Bowl? What teams were in the Super Bowl? As you look back, does anybody want to help all the rest of us try to recall? It was the Chiefs and the... Okay, not bad. You guys did better than Pastor Dustin. I asked him earlier, and he was like, oh, who was in the Super Bowl last year? You're not alone, brother. Neither in wearing navy blue shirts, nor in having to look up who was in the Super Bowl last year, because I had to look it up. Our memories are short. And the reason I want to bring that up is that we're here for a very special reason in church today. And that is to remember. Yes, we're looking forward. That's what Next Level is about, looking forward to what God's plan might be for amazing love and how he might lead us, as Dustin said so well earlier on, to reach more lost people with the love of Christ, to bring more people into God's family and God's kingdom, to have more friends with us one day that we can hug in heaven, to be able to look across that heavenly room and one day say, hey, just like you did earlier here, I'm here. Won't that be a great day? And won't it be even greater when we recognize all the people that through our church family, we've been able to reach with the gospel that Jesus has reached because he came and lived for them. He went to the cross and died for them. He rose again in victory to share that victory with all of us and with all of those that Jesus still wants us to reach. That will be a Super Bowl of a day. And so what I want us also to do, though, is not just look forward. I want us to think back. Because this is the 15th anniversary of Amazing Love. And so today is not just about looking forward and saying, what might God do through us? Which is pretty exciting to think about. But I think for all of us, it's equally exciting to look back. And whether you're relatively new here, maybe today's your first day. And if it is, I want you to know this is a great day to come because we are celebrating 15 years of God's grace. Pastor Dustin was here in the beginning. His twin was not. But I'm still celebrating because it's amazing to see what God has done here. If you look at that Next Level brochure, you can look back through the pictures and see a much younger and handsomer Pastor Dustin. Leading worship in, well, whatever year that was, 15 years ago, 2009? I guessed right. Here we are. And all of you who know us, whether you've been here a day or all 15 years of that, can you think back just for a moment? And I'm just going to pause and give you a second. And think back about all the blessings that God has given you through this church family that not only projects God's amazing love in Jesus Christ through its message, but also, I think many of us have said, and I heard it just recently in a meeting, is how amazing the love is in this church between us, and God did that. So think about it. What's your blessing of amazing love that you could celebrate today on this 15th anniversary? Well, I want to take you into a Bible passage in the Old Testament. And it's a beautiful passage because it tells about a time in Israel's history where they were celebrating what God had done for them in his grace. And it had a very visible, very easy to see impact because it was the temple. God had successfully led his people under King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, because he prayed and he asked God for that wisdom, and God gave it to him as an act of his grace toward Solomon. Solomon, at the dedication of that temple, has some beautiful words to say that will help us also think in the right perspective about our 15th anniversary and all that God has given us. And what I want you to particularly pay attention to as I read through these verses is to ask yourself, how does Solomon reflect God's gracious heart by what he says is going on in his own heart? Because that's what we're going to be talking about, is whether we want to look back in joy and gratitude over the past 15 years or whether we want to project forward another 15 years to make next level impact. That's what we're talking about. To make next level impact, what does that require in here? What is God going to have to give us that he gave Solomon? What kind of heart? So let's listen carefully. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning at verse 54. Here's what it says. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him and keep the commands, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his command as at this time." So Solomon observed the festival at that time, and all Israel with him, a vast assembly, people from Lebo Hamath to the Wadi of Egypt, meaning from the far north to the far south. They celebrated it before the Lord our God for 7 days and 7 days more, 14 days in all. And by the way, surprise announcement, we're going to keep this service going for 14 days. Worship team, are you ready? All right, maybe not. On the following day, he sent the people away. They blessed the king and then went home, joyful and glad in heart for all the good things the Lord had done for his servant David and his people Israel. All right. What was this structure and its meaning that Solomon is dedicating, that Solomon is celebrating? And I want you to remember that amongst the Israelites, one of the biggest things that ever happened was the Exodus, that they had been slaves And just as God had promised he was going to develop them into a huge nation, more numerous than the sand on the seashore, and even though they would spend time in slavery, he would deliver them. He would redeem them from that slavery, and he would give them freedom and their own land flowing with milk and honey. Similar to promises he's made to us in New Testament times, not through Moses, but through Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That's Jesus promising you that you have a land, you have a space, you have a possession in heaven. A land flowing with milk and honey like no other. And in celebration of this, David first and then Solomon said, "You know, we have built this beautiful palace for ourselves and the future kings of Israel, but this is not enough. This is not good enough. Our God needs to have his own place." Now, I don't know how many of you know how beautiful and magnificent and gorgeous this place was, but I'll show you just a couple. I mean, they built this on the highest point in Jerusalem, the capital city. And you can see it had all the pieces for them to worship, the altar to celebrate the sacrifices, which represented the coming sacrifice of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. The sea where the sacrifices could be washed, all the other smaller lavers and bases, and the inside of the temple leading all the way into here. Does anybody know what's in here, the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. And this is where once a year blood was sprinkled as a representation that it requires a life to redeem a life. Blood must be spilt in order for our sins to be forgiven, a fulfillment which would come at the time of Jesus, the Son of God, when he died on the cross and sacrificed his life for us. What a lot of you don't maybe know about the temple, though, is how the people of Israel looked at this spot. Put that next picture. I want to show. Now imagine this. This is a representation of the city of Jerusalem outside the walls of the temple grounds. But look how beautiful that was. You know how the Israelites looked at this? They called this in Greek the omphalos. Do you know what an omphalos is? Put that word up so everybody can see it. An omphalos. And this was actually a concept that came from the Greeks. And they adopted it because the belief, the tradition was that where the temple is was actually the center of all of God's creation. Omphalos means your belly button. In other words, the Temple Mount was the very core of humanity's being. It is where all people should focus. All people should think as the center of God's creation, yes, but also God's redeeming work of saving humanity. And the idea in the Old Testament was that outreach was really to do all that could be done to draw people into this core where they could see the sacrifices, hear the message of God's promised redemption through his Son that would one day be. In other words, the omphalos, the temple, was to be that place from which and through which the gospel would go forth so that the amazing love of God could be shared not just with the children of Israel, as you'll see, because Solomon points this out, but with the whole world. Sound a little bit like amazing love and its vision and mission? You see, what we tout as our vision to reach the lost with the love of Christ, that's not anything new. to bring and invite people in to hear this amazing message of Jesus' sacrifice for us. For them to see blood sprinkled for them on the New Testament Ark of the Covenant, that is the cross, to experience the victory of the resurrection. All those things were, in an example, contained in this temple, the core of the universe for all people. And the reason I bring this up is I think it's so important that we get that the mission of the Old Testament people is our mission still today. That people would know that they have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And guess how this was to be represented? This temple was to be a light, a city on a hill. What does Jesus say about a lamp? Don't cover up its light. Uncover it and let that light be seen everywhere. So as we think about that, and as I read a few select portions of what Solomon had to say, I'm going to kind of speed through these now that you understand the background. Here's what I want you to think about. What kind of heart does the God who led these people to this place have? And furthermore, and for our purposes today, what kind of heart had he planted in Solomon? And in all these people who made their donations so that the temple could be built, part of this celebration is not just a loud thank you to God. Of course, that's the loudest and foremost. But it's also a thank you to God's people whose hearts were moved to be generous toward this project and who participated and engaged with making it happen so that all the peoples of the earth could know about their redemption. What kind of heart was that? And there are five things that Solomon shows. So if you've got your notes, I'm going to go through these quick. I'm going to run through them. And then we'll say a few words at the end. So at the very top, your first fill-in is if we want to have next level impact of the style that Solomon was able to have in his world. Remember, even the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon because she was so interested in Solomon's wisdom and Solomon's gospel. Next level impact is always a product of our heart. Even for ourselves personally, there's going to be no impact on us moving from the outside in. God works from the inside out. And so from us to our friends and neighbors to the very ends of the earth, it begins with impact on the heart, and that leads to impact on our world. So let's see the aspects of what this heart looks like. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. So the very first thing we notice in this prayer is that Solomon's heart is a prayerful heart. And that shouldn't shock or surprise us by what we know from the Bible. In fact, with Solomon himself, what led to his great wisdom was God saying, "What do you want to pray for? Pray for anything, I'll grant it to you." And Solomon's prayer was, "I want to be filled with your wisdom, God." And God granted him, answered Solomon's prayer as he always answers prayer, as he promises to answer prayer. And that's why in the New Testament, we read this. "Rejoice always." Can you read these words with me? "Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So number one, if we're going to do great things for the Lord, if God is going to do great things in us by His grace, as He wants to do through His Son Jesus, our heart has to be a prayerful heart. That's the kind of gift that God wants to give you, is a heart that loves to pray. I hope this is in you. But that's not all. Like I said, there are five things. Number two, let's look at what Solomon says next. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him. What's Solomon saying with this? God, I want to be close to you. I want you to be close to me. Be with me. Be with all of us. And then I love this next line. As he was with our ancestors. What's that saying? If we look back, well, here we can look back 15 years. Has God been with us in 15 years? Dustin, what do you say? Has God been with you for 15 years and with amazing love for 15 years? So you can look back and you can recognize God's presence and power. But we can go much further than that. We can watch through the whole history of the New Testament church, starting with Jesus' ascension into heaven. Remember, he promised to send his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? We can go back further than that. We can go back into the Old Testament as these people could. And they could see amazing things. They could see that deliverance from Egypt through Moses. They could see and know how through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God had been with them and fulfilled all his promises to them. So looking back, there's plenty of evidence that if our hearts are filled with faith and committed to be faithful, God will show us again and again and again his grace. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, we're reminded of this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. In other words, sometimes we're still far away from accomplishing or achieving. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 15 years here at Amazing Love. But let me ask you, are you confident that we will reach more lost people with the love of Christ? I'm confident. Do we have assurance about what we don't see yet? These days, we see two services. We see this building. Is it possible to see three services or four services, worship team? Pastor, preaching four times on a weekend? Because we're filling this place up on a Saturday night and a Sunday morning, every seat filled like it is today? Can you see those things even though you can't yet see them? That's what the author to the book of Hebrews is saying. Through faith, with God's help, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can see things we can't see. This is what the ancients, in fact, were commended for. Look at Noah. He's a great example. By faith, Noah, did he see an ark at first? God saw an ark. God commanded Noah to build an ark. When warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Became an owner, an inheritor of the righteousness that Jesus offers us, not by being good people, but by simply trusting in Jesus Christ. Faith and faithfulness. Faith to see these things we can't see, but faithfulness, like Noah's, to get up and do and build as God had commanded him to. So, second thing, not just a prayerful heart is required to have next level commitment and next level impact. A faith-filled and faithful heart is the second aspect of Solomon's heart. Number three, Solomon in his prayer says that he, meaning God, may uphold the cause of his servant, meaning himself. that he may uphold the cause of his servant, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. If you've got a pen in your hand, I want you to circle that word cause. What's a cause? Right here. If someone would say to you, he's a man with a cause, she's a woman with a cause, what are they saying? They're saying you get out of bed every morning, you wake up, and as soon as you have that first cup of caffeine inside you, you go, oh man, I can't wait to live out this day because I have purpose. God has given me something to live for. God has given me something to do today that is not just mundane, it is glorious. Because I'm going to be living for the Lord. The Jesus who redeemed me, who forgave all my sins, who loved me limitlessly and faithfully. God gave me today, Dustin used the word so beautifully, the word we need here. God gave me today to respond to that love. I'm going to live with a cause of responding to the love of the Lord Jesus with purpose. And that's the kind of heart, thirdly, that God wants us to have. Let's look at this passage in Acts 1:8. What does God say? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. See the cause here? Given you work to do. And in all Judea and Samaria, and by the way, your cause will not be over until when? Until the gospel has reached the ends of the earth. And all people know the amazing love of our God. So here's the third aspect. Prayerful heart, faith-filled and faithful heart, and finally, a purposeful heart. Number four, and may your hearts be about a quarter committed to the Lord, or half committed to the Lord. You got sit on the fence, Solomon says. Have one foot on one side of the fence and another foot on the other side of the fence. You see that there? No, you don't see that there, do you? You see, Solomon said, let's get our bottom sides off the fence and let's get fully engaged, fully committed to the Lord. Let's go all in, put all our chips into the middle of the table so that we can live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time. And what's really cool, remember, this is Solomon building a temple, but who originally wanted to build the temple? Do you know the story? Solomon actually pulled everybody together, pulled all the supplies together, and got it done in the end. He finished the job. But do you know that his father was the one who said, hey, God, as I mentioned earlier, this is not right. We built me a palace in Jerusalem. Like, I'm super uncomfortable, Lord, because I have a house, but you don't have a house. And this tabernacle that you've been living in, you've been living in a tent for a long time, God. And that's cool. We love the tabernacle. It's done a lot of great things for us. But for you and for the Ark of the Covenant, let's build a real palace. God's like, I don't need to live in palaces. God's the ultimate humble person. But David was determined. And God came back to him and he said, even though the prophet had kind of told him, you'll be the one, God sent another message to the prophet and said, David, you're not the one. We're going to go with the idea, but you're a man of war, a man of bloodshed. Let's find another person to do it. It'll be your son, Solomon. So Solomon built the temple. Now I want you to watch what his father David says to him about his heart if he's going to build this temple. And you, my son Solomon, this is David talking, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. I hope you hear God saying that to you today. Be strong and do the work. Be fully committed to the Lord. Don't be a fence rider with the Lord. Go all in with him. So your fourth answer to what kind of heart goes next level and makes next level impact is a fully committed heart. And finally, they blessed the king and then went home joyful and glad in heart for all the good things the Lord had done for his servant David and his people Israel. That's not hard to tell what kind of heart God wants for us to go next level. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Now, these are the last words of Solomon. Put them in perspective. The temple is built. The people are ready. You know, it's going to be 14 days of partying and celebrating and thanking God and worshiping God. But as they go home, Solomon says to them, go home with joy in your heart, not reluctance, not worry, not being upset. Find your joy. Be glad in heart. And here's why I believe that these words were spoken by Solomon. Solomon knew the power of joy. Do you know the power of joy? Do you know how many people lose their power because they lose their joy? In fact, later on, after the temple had been destroyed and the whole city of Jerusalem had been destroyed and the people in exile came back from Babylon and Persia and God helped them rebuild the city and the temple through people like Ezra and Nehemiah, I want you to see something that Nehemiah says. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day, this was a celebration day, is holy to our Lord. They had just read through all the scriptures. And there was some grieving because there was some repentance. But Nehemiah says, do not grieve. Let's read this together. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Never underestimate a happy heart. A heart that is joy-filled in the Lord for all that the Lord has done for you. For 15 years of God's grace here at Amazing Love. For thousands of years of God's grace since God made that first promise in the garden and said, I will one day send someone to crush Satan's head for you. Yes, Adam and Eve, you sinned. But you're forgiven through what my son will do for you in every subsequent generation, through what my son has done for them, is forgiven and is graced and has an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey in heaven. That's God's grace to us. And fills hearts with joy, which makes us, well, what did Nehemiah say? A heart filled with joy is a powerful heart. And so here's the final answer. As you go home today, I hope you will go home with a joyful and glad heart. And I hope that you will look forward with that joyful and glad heart to the next 15 years. Some of you thought I was going to say look forward to 5:30 when the Super Bowl comes on. You can look forward to that too. But look forward to what God might do through you, through this family in the next 15 years. As we go from this level to the next level. And by the way, you want to hear my belief, my confidence about things not yet seen? In the next 15 years, it's quite possible there will be a next level, and a next level after that, and a next level after that, and another level after that, and still another level after that. As more and more people are reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, levels we can't foresee or know what they're going to look like, but maybe we can see them today, sitting here on the 15th anniversary through the eyes of faith. I hope you go home also with a joy-filled heart, not only as you think about what God might do in the next 15 years, but also as you reflect back on all the work that's been done for us to be able to sit here today. 15 years ago, this wasn't Amazing Loves building. 15 years ago, this church had just gotten its first pastor. He's told me a couple times he had no clue what he was doing. He's gotten better. They don't really train you in the seminary how to start a church, but you figure it out with God's help. And look at what God has done. We are here, you are here, and it's a celebration for every soul in this room and every soul that might one day be reached because you're here in this church family. And so as you look forward and as you look back, my prayer for you today is that you will have a heart that looks like this heart, Solomon's heart, a prayerful heart, a faith-filled and faithful heart, a purposeful heart. You're on a mission for God. A fully committed heart, and most of all, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, a joy-filled and a glad heart. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, you have this kind of heart for us. You prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane so that you could go to the cross for us. Your faith in your Father's will never waned a bit, and you faithfully did all that needed to be done. Your heart was filled with great purpose so that you could redeem us and an entire world of sinners. You were fully committed to the point of sacrificing your life. And you did it all, Dustin said it earlier, willingly, joyfully, gladly, so that we can one day be in heaven with you and inherit our inheritance, that land flowing with milk and honey. And now, Lord, our prayer is take your heart and transplant it into our chest. Make our hearts like your heart. Grant us that the five things that we saw in Solomon that we talked about here today can also be ours. And we know we need you for that to happen. We need your grace. We need your power. We need your Holy Spirit. And we ask for those things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the glory and the power are yours now and forever. Amen.